97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Yeah, it does. And it is a Tuesday morning to start your week. The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, our 6 a.m. hour, brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White here for the pro. And it is a joyous Tuesday morning, despite some of the stuff going on in the sports world around here. It is a joyous Tuesday when I love hearing people after a holiday weekend talk about how much fun it was getting together with friends, family, getting down to the Jersey Shore, getting around to, Coach got down to Delaware. Just hearing stories about people being out and about and having fun again, Bob, just absolutely makes me smile. The sense of community you get on a holiday weekend, especially in any place like a beach community,
yeah,
to me is just absolutely awesome.
Oh, it's great. And then when you don't have something for a year or two, it makes it that much better. And not that being down at the beach like Jamie was with his family or Coach was, not that it could go, you know, really get any better, but when you miss it for a year or two, it does. It has even more special meaning.
Jamie's showing pictures, and I'm like, oh, there's Skylar going to the beach. There's Skylar running back from the water.
Oh,
that
man.
Just is, because kids at the beach, to me, is absolutely priceless. I could watch kids, just seeing them, the joy on their faces, the joys on the boardwalk, the joys getting ice cream. Is just
oh, we
awesome
got ice cream.
Oh, I bet you did.
And Sunday morning, I was telling you guys, Skylar woke up my wife with a double-handed slap on the chest and said, Mom, it's sunny outside. Meaning, like, let's get your
and
ass
it was like
to the
6
beach.
6 a.m.?
6 a.m.
Oh, jeez.
Get your ass to the beach is what she was saying.
She didn't say that.
No.
She'll
but
say
that's
that
what she meant by it's sunny out. Let's go.
Pat, they were like you, though. The Lynches were like you. Ice cream was on the agenda.
Alamode, a little Alamode, Pat.
I'm just happy that I've rubbed off on Jamie in some way.
I've always had an
excuse me?
For,
yeah, you heard that right. And I'm
you
not, taking,
save
it. I'm
like
not
to,
taking it back.
See, I'd save that one.
I'm rubbing off on Jamie.
Pat sent me a text last night with a picture of a little ice cream he was
that's
having.
Right.
He was celebrating last
Pat,
night,
was it
the weekend.
Four ice cream weekend?
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of scoops that
four
were had. Look,
Coach,
when I walked in and they had the root beer ice cream, I said, I'll be back a few times.
Coach was on the pirate ship down in Delaware, that swinging pirate ship, which is one of my scourges. And he's showing the video of it on his social media. And my stomach hurt watching the video, Coach. How many times did you do the swinging pirate ship?
Yeah, that pirate ship starts the summer for us.
That's like the kickoff.
First ride Cam and I go on down in Rehoboth Beach. And I think the first Saturday, I think we did five in a row.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we get off, go do some other rides and stuff like the Haunted Mansion down there. And then we go back to the pirate ship and do a few more in a row.
Oh.
And we wait. We wait in the separate line so that we can get the back seat.
See, now, that's what we will do on the at Disney on the, what do they call the log flume ride down there?
The log flume.
No, they don't.
Oh.
There's a ride. There's a thing, a splash mountain.
Oh, yeah.
We will wait to have the first or the last seats.
I like watching it come down on that little bridge where
you
get soaked.
And you get soaked.
Yeah, that's the best.
The front seat or the back seat. Now, the back seat to me scares me worse, though. I still get a little bit of fear right as you're going over the edge.
Oh, yeah?
The back seat, you get air. You catch more air. The front seat, you're seeing what's in front of you. It gives you a little bit of a creep show. But hopefully you had a great weekend. And Coach wants you to know the most popular summer destination, Orlando, Florida. Most popular domestic destination this summer, according to Travel Elite Research. Meanwhile, Cancun, Mexico, the most popular international destination this summer. I think, Coach, that's because it's cheap. Because Cancun's been having a terrible crime problem.
Yeah, you're taking your life in your hands a little bit when you go down there.
It's bad right now.
They'll probably give you a decent airfare.
They're having cartels having shootouts in pools. I mean, it's that bad.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff like Philly.
I mean, do you want an experience or not?
Exactly. You're really getting the feel of being in Mexico. Do you want to have the beach, the pool, and the drug cartel?
It's hands-on.
There you go.
We all sit there and
it's immersive.
Yeah, we all watched Ozarks, but you want to live Ozarks.
Ozark, what'd you put, an S on Ozark now?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Hey.
Philadelphia radioed that, didn't I?
I figured out that Joe Girardi, I'm afraid, is just like my father. Tom Kincaid, though he passed in 1981, I think Joe Girardi's a lot like my dad. Tom worked his backside off. Mailman in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, 19026. and then delivered the Philadelphia Bulletin, Bob, the proud Philadelphia Bulletin in the afternoon.
Nice.
All over Drexel Hill in the afternoons. Worked two jobs, totally kicked butt, because my dad's goal was to retire. And my dad one day wanted to retire in Florida. He saved his money, dreamed of what he would do and see when he retired. He talked about it constantly. He had a black copybook where him and my Uncle Bernie Flynn also delivered mail in Drexel Hill, they would sit at a table sometimes and go over the math and go, here's how much I would make if I retired at 60. Here's how much. And they wanted to go to Florida. Well, unfortunately, my dad died at 57. He never saw all the rewards of his planning for the future. And honestly, why I'm thinking about that, it's about Joe Girardi and how he manages. Because he frets over what might happen in game 148 instead of focusing on the night of game 48 and winning that night. He obsesses on rest patterns. He obsesses on giving guys an extra day here because down the stretch, they're going to need them. In the meantime, just literally frittering away opportunities to win, where if you don't win games 40 through 48 and win a lot of them there, game 148 isn't going to matter for Bupkis. He's living in the future instead of what is happening right now. My mom had a refrigerator magnet. She lived till 91. And Betty's thought process on this refrigerator magnet was, always have your feet firmly planted in today. And I kept the refrigerator magnet. I wish I'd take her advice more often. I try to think about that. But worry about what is happening, not what might happen 10 years from now. It's madness to me. It's frustrating to watch it. And honestly, I don't know what Joe Girardi could do other than winning a World Series that could ever get me back in his corner. And I raised my hand saying I was one of the fans who applauded the hiring of Joe Girardi. And I was one of the people who said, wow, we finally have a real manager in charge. Damn, I was wrong. And that's where we begin today with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach, Eric Camille. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I completely admit I was somebody who I really loved the hiring of Girardi when it happened. I thought he was going to do a great, great job. He is annoying me so much right now. He is absolutely squashing any joy I have watching Phillies baseball.
Yeah, it's just so head scratching in so many different areas. You know, it's why Kyle Schwarber's mired in the middle of an 0-for-20 slump, but he gets put back in the leadoff spot. It's taking pitchers out or putting them in or having this rule that he has. You know, Sir Anthony Dominguez pitches one pitch on Sunday, and then a few more Saturday and Sunday, and then you don't go to him yesterday. And it's just so. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And you know what really ticked me off yesterday? And my wife was like, oh my God, you think way too much about this stuff. So Kapler goes to Webb before the ninth inning. He's like, you're going to be out, it looks like. And Webb's like, no, give me another, you know, I want to keep going. And he's pitching well. He lets him back in the ninth inning, first pitch, boom, home run Schwarber. So analytics, Kapler didn't play the analytics, and I could just see Girardi going, see? See, you try to listen to your players and play with your gut, and this is what happens. So them, Schwarber hitting a home run for the Phillies off of Webb yesterday in the ninth, I think actually hurt the Phillies. Because Girardi's going to be like, see, you got to go by the analytics. You can't go by the feel. I was happy they hired him too, John. I'm not seeing it.
I haven't seen it, Pat.
Yeah, no, I think I'm well on record as saying I want him gone. I will say, though, with what you just said, Bob, I don't think that it's gonna help his case, because if you remember, Aaron Nola had the same thing happen to him, where he walked up to Aaron Nola and said, you know, hey, good game, and Nola said, I want to go out and finish it, and he gave him the opportunity. So I was actually impressed with Girardi in that sense, where
yeah,
he listened to the analytics and he listened to his player, because you have to have faith in your player. But yeah, I'm completely done.
You're completely done.
Yeah, your numbers, by the way,
I'm done with it.
It was one pitch for Sir Anthony one day. The next day it was 11 pitches. So you 12
pitches, 12
pitches
in 2 days.
And you couldn't put him,
but you couldn't put him out there for a third. So you throw a guy out there that all of us have no idea where you got him from or what he's done or any. You know, like, this is a no-name pitcher that you threw out there. You bring in your closer the second day in a row in a tie game where it's not a closing situation. So now he can't go today if they do have a closing situation. Who closes?
He's got
no feel.
He has no feel.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wanted him in the beginning, too. I would have fired him a month ago, honestly. His bump on a log, lifeless routine is just, you know, believe me, the guys in the locker room, they fight. They wouldn't be here if they weren't fighting. Shut the hell up. Nobody's fighting anything. This team is lifeless.
There's no fight.
And we're going to get into the story later about the team's family even pointing it out. Everybody sees it. Everybody. Break a TV. Flip a table. Curse somebody out. Go get kicked out of a game. Do something.
The most life that they saw, Jane, that they've shown was Schwarber. When Angel Hernandez was umpiring.
Girardi should have been the one getting kicked out that game.
Yeah.
That's when I was done with him. When he let Schwarber get kicked out. Sometimes you got to go to bat for your team.
Take and bite the bullet.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I was all about the hire. But then I talked to my Yankees friends, and I've brought this up many times, because I have a couple good buddies that are diehard Yankees fans. And I said, what's the deal with Joey Girardi here? And they go, he's okay, but he's going to drive you nuts. And he's always going to go to the binder. And he's going to overanalyze everything. They were right.
Yep, it is right.
I'm done. I'm completely 100% done.
I just feel such a frustration with it. And again, the idea that he doesn't make sense. He doesn't explain himself well. And I truly believe that Thursday, I drove in this morning, and I believe Thursday we will have a managerial change. I think they'll change Thursday. They have a day off Thursday. They have a day off next Monday.
Are you going to be 12 games out of the division?
Yeah, but I think then you go, okay, we have to salvage even a wild card run. And now that I look at the standings, honestly, it's a bigger disaster than I thought.
Yeah.
When I looked at it, and I'm not just talking about the Mets. It's just, they're really, it's awful.
Jamie, I think you retweeted this yesterday. They have to go 15 games over 500.
It's actually 17.
17 over 500 to get to 86.
Thanks, Michael Barkan.
By the way, Michael Barkan, can I say something with Michael Barkan? The other night, Michael Barkan did something, I retweeted it, and I just said, I pointed to it, and I just said, this is integrity. Michael Barkan's on the Phillies postgame show, and he buries them. He buries the manager. He buries the roster construction. He buries the... And I said to myself, okay, I was in a different media market for a long time. That's integrity. Because I promise you, the Braves would try to have the person fired. The Phillies had a guy like Barkan on that broadcast. And Barkan has enough respect in this town. Him, Ricky Bowe, they buried the Phillies on their own postgame show. And I just said, okay, this is integrity. This is what a real media market does. And Michael, I give a standing ovation because a lot of guys wouldn't have the balls to do that.
Yeah.
They're on the team's podcast. He buried him. And it was all factual. No opinion. It was just facts. And he was just spitting facts. And it was ruthless.
Yeah, he loves Phillies baseball like the rest of us. And he gets fired up when he sees this ineptitude over and over and over again.
And, you know, Ricky, it's funny. I watched a little bit of the post game yesterday. And Ricky pointed out that, okay, Joe Girardi does have these plans. A pitcher can't go three straight days. He doesn't like his closer, this, that, and the other. But he doesn't set that up.
No, he
doesn't.
He doesn't
set up for it. So, okay, that can be your rule. So avoid you having to use that rule. Avoid using a guy, you know, one pitch and then 11 pitches a day. Like, avoid those situations where you're going to leave yourself shorthanded. And Egan threw it out there perfectly. They're going to be very shorthanded today. Once again. And so we're going to see what?
The graphic on the screen is going to be, here's who Joe Girardi has available. The reason he has that lack of availability, Pat, is because of the things that he's done. They'll put that up tonight on the broadcast. I guarantee you there will be a graphic of, well, here's who Joe has available tonight in the bullpen. No, that's who Joe gave availability to by his own decision making.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It is dumb.
It is dumb. I mean, you got Sir Anthony there and you go, let's go Andrew Bellotti.
I don't even know. I swear to you.
Who the hell is Andrew Bellotti?
I swear to you, I had to Google.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
I had to Google. I had no idea.
Sir Anthony's been your best relief pitcher for the past month, and you're handling him with kid gloves.
I think they got him from the Yankees before the season started. I'm not sure.
It's terrible.
I'm honestly not sure.
And I know we talked about it last week, and you guys thought it was a PR nightmare if they fired him.
I do right now with Gabe in town.
Yeah, they don't have two games to spare. Like, that's the way I view it.
You think it's that desperate?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, you can wait for PR.
I believe it's going to happen on Thursday.
You're probably right, but let's just...
They're going to wait for Gabe to be out of town so they don't have that optic.
But let's just pretend that the managerial change does spark something in that clubhouse. If you look back on this and two games is the difference of making the wild card or not, then you're a dumb organization.
I never thought about it that way.
It can't get any worse. I mean, you're 4-11 over your last 15.
Since the Dodgers series, you're 4-11.
Since that great series.
Yeah, you had a chance here to go up against good teams and prove yourself. And you haven't.
And there's still 10 more games of tough schedule ahead of you before it gets easy.
Yeah, until June 9th.
Yeah.
June 9th. And honestly, the Diamondbacks are better than we thought. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not as easy as we thought, but oh my God.
I'm looking forward to a James Norwood, Nick Nelson type night. Yeah,
oh, shush. Shush. Ugh. Hey, the Fanatic deal of the week is our friends at Maury's Piers. We're extending this just to get the last ones out to you. Get one day, same day, ride and water park ticket, all inclusive. For $70. It's $120 retail value. And the ticket is going to grant you access to unlimited rides on all three piers and both water parks. You can check it out now at 975thefanatic.com, keyword deal. Get your tickets before they're gone. You want to get on this before, when the last ones go, the website will just go dark on it. So $120 value, $70. Unlimited same-day ride and water park tickets to Maury's Piers for $70. I saw that Tyrone and Jen and Connor were down roaming the streets of Wildwood. I didn't see them at the water park. They were at a watering hole.
I saw a billboard leaving Ocean City. It said Will Smith's first job was at Maury's Pier. Summer job was at Maury's Pier. I went, how about that?
Little fun fact.
Yeah.
I would say smack your mama or something like on that board. Yeah, you put up something like that. Like,
Will Smith, grab some
smack
attention.
Your mama and get to Maury's Pier so you can handle that one still. Want to tell you that you can be slimmer for the summer. Lose a contractually obligated 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or go to njdiet.com. So a little question for you. Now that the Doc Rivers situation has resolved itself, the Lakers went and hired Darvin Ham.
Great name.
And by the way, Darvin Ham, I didn't get to know him, but got to interact with him a few times when he was coaching with the Hawks. And it's weird. It's like Coach Pierce, Lloyd Pierce, who used to coach here, Bob, and I'm sure you observed Coach Pierce before he went to Atlanta.
Sure.
Darvin Ham, he was the practice coordinator. He was a guy who would stay after practice and work with individual drills before and after with players. He was a developmental guy, loved working with young players, great energy, great enthusiasm. He's a first-time head coach. So in other words, the Lakers went exactly the opposite of Doc Rivers. And I had said before that, and Shaquille had said it to me, that the Lakers were not interested in Doc Rivers. They wanted somebody, in fact, they wanted somebody exactly the opposite now. So I'm saying this. Is this a wake-up call, though, to sort of maybe change things up for Doc? That maybe things have to get a little different? Because now you see that the Lakers wanted a guy who could develop young talent. And they say that in the hiring of him. They wanted a guy who was hands-on, develop young talent, and wanted to cultivate young players. For a guy who coaches LeBron James, I thought, that's a pretty clear message. Develop your young talent. Play young talent.
Yeah, I don't think it'll change anything with Doc being that he'll look. We heard the way he spoke to us last year that he knows all. I shouldn't say he knows.
That
he knows more than us and he knows what he's doing. The guy's been in the league 24 years. Has he been successful? Absolutely. To him, it would probably be. What are you talking about? Change things. I'm fine where I am. I think what's instrumental this offseason is what I'll go back to, and I did it before. Patrick Beverley and J.J. Redick said that he has this kind of complex offense that is guard heavy that he didn't get a chance to implement with James Harden, nor did he get to implement it with Tyrese Maxey because he wasn't a true point guard. I don't know all about that. Those guys played for him, so I'm going to have to trust them on this. So a change, the change is going to be that you're going to have a lot of practice time with James Harden, which you did not have at all during the final run. Because you had games every other night, and NBA teams don't practice that way. So this offseason is going to be instrumental to see how Doc Rivers coaches this group that he has in front of him. And I think this group is also going to vastly change before it comes to training.
So you think this is going to be, you're saying vastly change?
Well, it has to. You need another starter, maybe two starters. You need at least a piece or two off the bench. I mean, you're talking about just what I named there. You're talking about four of your top eight are going to change. So, yeah, to me, that's vastly.
Yeah, I don't think Doc's going to change anything.
Any of it'll change.
Nah, I mean, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He's been around a long time. He's very set in his ways. That being said, I don't think he was the biggest issue. I'd much rather improve the bench, give him one more crack at it, and make my decision then. I saw a stat over the weekend that kind of hasn't left my brain cage here. There was one player in the NBA last year to average 20 points and 10 assists in the entire league.
And seven rebounds.
And it was James Harden. I do like the talent at the top end of the roster. They just need to supplement it with legitimate NBA players. You can't have playoff series where you're playing Shake Milton, Furkan Korkmaz, and some of these guys anymore. We have to turn that chapter of the organization behind us.
Well, then that means you have to get rid of Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
You don't have the flexibility.
That's your only move that
makes sense. You don't have the flexibility to improve those areas unless you free up that money.
Yeah, and he had a good playoff. So teams like, you know, a Dallas or somebody that was close but not close enough, you know, maybe they take a shot at somebody like him.
We appreciate you being with us as we begin summertime here on the John Kincaid Show. In fact, next week, we begin the summer of fun. We'll tell you all about the summer of fun throughout the course of the week. We're going to try some different things, have a little bit of more looseness during the course of the summer, as we get you ready for a great Eagles season and more. We look forward to having you be with us all the time. Make sure you have the app downloaded so you can be with us everywhere you go. So if you are traveling, if you go out of state, if you go down to the beach, if you go otherwise, you've got the radio right there on your phone and you still hang out with the John Kincaid Show, and we greatly appreciate it. Gabe Kapler, I've had enough. I had enough of you years ago. It's the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. Download the Bet Parks app. Get it today. The Bet Parks app is a casino and sportsbook app in one, and boy, do they have you covered right now. We've got the NBA Finals starting on Thursday. We've got the Final Four in the NHL beginning tomorrow night. And with all of these options to wager, you'll want to get in on the Bet Parks app. If you want a risk-free solution for you, how about a risk-free bet up to $750? Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app will offer you that risk-free bet refunded in site credit if you use the promo code Kincaid on that first bet. You will absolutely love it. Whether you have handicapped the series to believe you have a team that you like, or whether you think an individual player performance in-game is something you want, you can check it out. The Bet Parks app gives you so many different options to get involved. You will absolutely love the fun. Stay engaged all summer long and then get ready for football season. You got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania or New Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Aha. Coach, aha, right?
That's correct.
It's an aha moment.
One of the best MTV videos ever made.
I'm going to say summer of 87 or 88. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Appreciate you being a part of everything we've got going on today. Our 8 a.m. hour sponsor is Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com.
1985.
85? Wow. Year. Well, I thought it was later than that. 85. Great music video. One of the better, like, sort of cartoon music videos that was out there at the
time. I didn't like it.
You didn't like that?
No, I didn't.
It was the
black and white
sketch, right?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. Just give me, you know, like Janet Jackson or Madonna in a bra on the beach.
Exactly.
I'll take that.
Huh?
I mean, I didn't like that. Uh-huh.
See, Jamie, you didn't grow up in the heyday of music videos. And
I was the TRL generation.
Yeah, you were a different one.
Yeah.
Did you ever go up for it?
TRL? No, God, no.
No? You wouldn't have?
Nothing about standing in Times Square to get the scene on video has any appeal to me whatsoever.
Now, New Year's
that
Eve.
That seems like a giant waste of time.
New Year's Eve, it definitely does.
Oh, my God. I think those people are insane.
They're nuts.
Some people wear diapers up there.
Well, that's what I don't understand is if you're in the crowd at New Year's Eve and you got to get there early, what do you do, like...
Depends.
If you have to go to the bathroom.
Honestly, people wear Depends.
Because you can't get back to your friends.
And then the restaurants aren't going to want a bunch of just people coming and going all day. Like, what do you do?
I mean,
it sounds terrible.
Peeing your pants is cool.
No, it really does. It sounds terrible.
It's the coolest.
It absolutely does not sound good.
I don't believe that Jamie didn't camp out at TRL back in the day. I could see him with a sign that says, O-Town makes me O-gasm.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Christina wants to see... Chucky D, our boss, he went and saw The Music Man. And she wants to see The Music Man up on Broadway. And the prices are freaking insane.
Yeah.
It's great. But the thing is, though, it almost makes me happy just to see, like, Broadway be back. The businesses be back. Seeing the Shore this weekend, and we were not down for it. But just to see people celebrating at the beach with family. The pictures you had today, Jamie, of you and your friends all down at the beach together and everything. To me, it's such a beautiful sight.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
Just
to see people's businesses getting back.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very good to see. And I said to Bob, the thing that's picked up down the Jersey Shore, I think, over the last 2-3 years, golf carts are everywhere now.
That's cool.
I never used to see them down there. Now they're
it's awesome.
Everywhere.
They would have every year in our old neighborhood because we had a golf course. They would do a bulk buy once a year where you'd buy golf carts. And they'd always do it in the first quarter of the year because I guess business was down. So they'd offer us all the neighbors that wanted to buy new golf carts. You could get one for, and it was like $3,000.
Yeah.
But you were usually saving like $600 or $700. But man, the golf cart's a beautiful thing.
I've always wanted one.
Would you have anywhere to use it in your neighborhood now?
Yeah.
Because you cannot have them on the street.
Yeah, I can use it in my neighborhood.
So your sidewalks would be big enough?
Well, I'd use it in the street.
John.
You'd go and drive it in the
sidewalks are average.
You'd drive it in the...
I would just ride it down
you could
to my
never
cousin's
have house. It. Right? Because you can't park them on the street because they don't have a license plate on them.
I think the ones down the shore now, I think I saw a couple with plates.
They let you have plates?
I don't know.
All right, well, get back
to
that.
No, I don't think the hills of Roxborough and Manayunker.
Pat, you're not allowed to do that?
I can't have a golf cart, unfortunately.
You would not be. You'd love one, though.
Yeah, they're fun to drive.
They are fun to drive.
Yeah, they're fun as hell.
Bob, you love riding with me in a golf cart.
No, I can't stand riding with you in a golf cart.
Why?
Because you almost tore my ACL 3 times in one outing. Because you have no patience to let somebody get into a cart and actually sit down. One leg in doesn't mean it's time to go, John.
Bob, it's a contact sport.
There was going to be contact. I swear to God, there was going to be contact.
He's ready to lose.
3 times. 18 holes. 3 times. I climb into a cart. 1 foot in, 1 foot still out, and John's going.
Bam!
Uh-huh.
Bob, you were nimble, though. You were still very nimble. But that was also the round, Bob, where Jamie dove behind the golf cart.
Oh, my God.
Because he was under siege from the long drive guy.
Yeah.
Who was pelting us with golf balls.
Oh, my God.
He did not know. That long drive guy at that event did not know where the ball was going.
No.
He was just up there swatting it. And it's fun to watch somebody hit it like that. But he didn't keep any of them in play. We were getting pelted.
Yeah.
One hit the cart, and then one almost hit Jamie.
Jamie has bad luck on a golf course.
You've had a lot of things
happen.
There's
a lot of falling, and I've seen you fall 3 times
all
on a golf.
3 times I've fallen and
slippery.
Been in front of you.
And I've only golfed, you say, 10 times. So 30% of the time I golf with you, you're falling down.
I'm playing today in Leslie Goodell's daughter, Kendall, has a amazing event, Kendall's Crusade, the one-armed golf tournament.
Oh, over at Mikey Miss's course.
And I played in it last year.
I hope you guys tear it up.
And it was very, very
Literally.
Difficult. Very, very difficult. Mike can afford to fill in any kind of divots or anything. One arm, it was so difficult. So what did I do this weekend twice?
You hit the range?
No, I went out beside my house and was just swinging the club, swinging some of the different clubs one-handed, because now I've done it after never doing it before last year, to try to just see if I can improve in a one-arm golf tournament.
Yeah, that's tough. What, do you all play with the same club?
No, you...
You can play the whole bag?
You bring your whole bag.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want. But one-arm putting is much harder than you'd imagine.
I bet, yeah.
It's surprising.
One-arm putting?
Yes, it's more difficult than you'd imagine it would be.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Because you just tend to... You don't tend to have the same...
What arm did you use, right or left? You're right-handed.
I use the right. I used the right, so... And I'm a converted lefty to a righty. I had my hand tied to a desk.
I don't know.
It went from left to right. So we'll have some fun today. I understand. I'm playing with John Brazier.
Ah.
The director of Fun and Games. And I think the Fanatics' best friend's coming and all this kind of stuff.
It'll be good.
Should be a great day today.
Yeah, my wife
96
says
degrees.
Summer's awesome. It's quickly approaching, so which means I can golf again.
Get some golf time.
Yeah.
By the way, 16 pounds down in 6 weeks now.
Congrats.
And yeah, I'm wondering if the fat off the body will help today with the golf game. Probably not.
Probably not, no.
It probably doesn't.
Golf's all between the ears anyway.
Yes. It's not going to help me at all. Hey, to be 10 games back on Memorial Day, the day I inspect the standings, to me was truly disheartening. But what was worse, to be 3-9 versus the Mets, to be 6-14 in NL East play, to be 9-17 versus teams with winning records, to me is an absolutely unacceptable, atrocious start for Joe Girardi and the Phillies. But I keep reminding myself of this, and I wonder if this is the mistake that I'm making, that the last two full season World Series champs were not 500 until the 2019 Nationals got to 40-40. So they were halfway through the season. And the 2021 Braves got to 53-53. So I wonder, am I bluffing myself? I realize the division race is over, as far as I'm concerned, and I will not get suckered into believing that they can get back into it. Because when Scherzer and DeGrom get back, the Mets are going to just boat race everybody even worse. But the wild card race, I still believe, is alive. But hanging my hat on the 2019 Nationals being 40-40 for the first time they got to 500, and where they dug themselves out of a hole, and the Braves being 53-53 last year, am I in any way being ridiculous comparing that to this year's Phillies team?
I'm not going to lie and say that I sat here and watched those Braves and Washington teams and said, okay, they're not playing well now, but they still have this. Now, we know what they had. Both teams had some pitching. Both teams had some hitting. It all came together, and that's what it was. There's been nothing to wrap your arms around or hands around with this Phillies team so far. You can't say, yeah, but they've been doing this well, so if they ride that out, maybe think, because they haven't done that well. Do they have potential to be a good hitting team? I guess, but this leadoff hitter thing, and I know how people say it's overrated because a guy only leads off one inning a game. I hear you.
40% of the at-bats actually come leading off an inning.
That's a lot. And it just sets the tone. I don't think they have they don't have anybody to set a tone there at that leadoff spot, and I think it's had a trickle-down effect. The starting pitching has been good, but you haven't been able to take advantage of it. Is that going to last? I don't know. The bullpen is starting to leak. Are you going to get these hitters all going at the same time? I hope so, but who knows? So I would bet not against. I would bet against the Phillies becoming a 500 team and riding something out.
Yeah, I can't.
If I said 40-40, can this Phillies team right now 21?
So you have to go 19-12.
They're 21-28. Could you see them at 500 at 40-40?
Doubtful.
I think it's doubtful.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, sure, but I don't have anything to base that on.
The schedule does really open up in a bit.
It does, but that doesn't mean anything for the Phillies. I mean, this is a team that habitually loses to the Pirates of the world and the Marlins of the world.
They have 8 games in a week coming up against the Marlins and the Nets. 1 week.
I mean, like, 5-3 is probably the best I can muster up in my head versus those.
So you're picking up 2 of the games.
Yeah.
I can't see 40-40.
I mean, the fact that they have to get to 17 games over 500 to get to 86 wins is mind-boggling.
I hate that you brought it up. Honestly.
Well, blame Michael Barkan. It's his fault.
Blame you, Michael Barkan.
That's damning. I mean, look, the division's over. I think we
division's
can,
over.
It's all about wild card now, so maybe we should shift how we talk about it. They're not catching the Mets. And the Mets, guess what, are going to get Scherzer and DeGrom and McNeil back. And
they're 6-14 in the division, Pat.
Phillies, yeah, it's pathetic.
6-14, 3-9 against the Mets.
The problem, too, is there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
It's like a train. Light, it's an oncoming train.
Yeah,
Pat.
The light that we're focusing on is Mickey Moniak. I like Mickey Moniak, but that's like your saving grace. Like that's an issue, and I would feel better if they did do a managerial change because at least it would shake things up. Because I do think he's completely lost the locker room and doesn't have a feel for it. But it's like there's no hope. You're fighting for a wild card spot. The Mets are going to make the playoffs. And they'll probably do what the Mets do. They'll probably choke in the playoffs. But you're right. Like, when they get DeGrom back, when they get Scherzer back, like, what, gosh, is it going to get worse?
The only thing is, Bob, is there's a term that Pat used there. And I've used it, too. The idea of lost the locker room. Girardi, you think he's... You've covered enough teams. You've been in enough grinds where when you cover a team all year long, you can tell when a coach...
Yeah,
so and it has people check out, or a manager.
It's the most damning thing to say about a manager. Like, you don't write that, you don't say that, unless it's gotten to that point of badness. You don't, because it's almost the execution is coming, and that's the final words that you have on it.
If you had to guess.
I'll tell you what.
Because it's only a guess.
Did you guys watch Castellanos yesterday when he took him out of the game?
I didn't.
What was that? Do we have this later in the show to talk about?
No, that's fine.
He got changed, and he took off his jersey, and he had a hoodie on.
I saw he had a hoodie on, yeah.
That was weird.
That is weird to me, now, and I did see that.
I didn't think much of it.
I went back and forth with the move. I was wondering, to watch Castellanos come out of an extra inning game, okay, look, you're looking to get the run. Somebody's going to score. You got a guy on second leading off every inning, whatever, and you put Roman Quinn out there to try to manufacture. But there was two outs.
Do you think that's ever happened to him in his career before?
And Castellanos is your hottest hitter.
He's probably been the best hitter on most teams he's been on, or up there, top one or two.
And that's why I was wondering, and they went to him on the bench. Look, these guys over at NBC Sports Philadelphia aren't dumb. They went to Odubel Herrera's reaction when Mickey Moniak made a great catch. They went to Castellanos as soon as he went to the bench and had on a hoodie and took off his jersey.
I bet he was seething.
I thought the same thing. It literally made me... I was watching the game. I swear to God, I went outside to do something and there's a little TV out there and I saw it and I went, whoa, what was that? And it stopped me in my tracks. The look on his face and the way he was dressed with a hoodie on your head. In 85-degree weather, he was
seething. I mean, look.
I think he was.
In the back of his mind, he knows Roman Quinn isn't a Major League Baseball player. And
Or he's a situational fringe type of thing.
And he just is probably your second best hitter on the team. And he just got pulled in a tie game in extra innings for a guy that's a fringe player.
I got you.
For a guy that with two outs. There was two outs.
Yeah.
Like, and he gets thrown out at second.
There was one out. But then... Roman got called out, and then it was just... No, there was two outs.
No, there was two outs. He got thrown out at second for the third out.
Shut my mic off.
Shut it up, Pat. Shut it up.
But there's no chance he wasn't pissed.
He was absolutely pissed.
Now, we can argue back and forth, because I argued with myself yesterday saying, is it a good move? Is it not a good move? And I was like, well, you're trying to manufacture a run to win the game. Okay, I kind of understand it. But do you do it with Nick Castellanos? I don't know.
No, I do it with Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, Schwarber, Hoskins.
Well, Schwarber's just... I mean, he's...
Would you have made that move, John?
No, I would not.
Was it overthinking, you think?
Yes.
Pat, what about you? You're a baseball dude.
I would not have done it. No, I'm not taking Nick Castellanos out of your lineup.
I can't just on the fact that it's going... It could come around again. It could...
Exactly.
Like, and if I get caught with Nick Castellanos not being there and what would be the potential at bat, I can't handle that.
No.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen a worse defensive outfield ever?
It's as bad as I've seen.
It's the worst defensive outfield I've ever seen in my life.
No, it's really, really bad. But a lot of that is, and I'm not the biggest fan of some of his defense recently, but Bryce Harper is really being missed.
Yeah.
And
I don't expect them to play the field again this year.
No.
Well, and they can't. And with what he's doing at the plate, he's trying to muddle on through. I mean, It's tough. Hey, remember, the Fanatic Deal of the Week is still available for you. Go to 975thefanatic.com, keyword deal. You can get one same-day ride and water park ticket to Maury's Piers for $70. You're going to be down there this summer. You can grab them for the kids now and save yourself $50 on a ticket. It's $120 retail value. The ticket grants access to unlimited rides on all three piers and both water parks. So check that on out. I know that Liv and one of our friends are looking forward to a day in Wildwood, being able to do all that. I already grabbed those for them. In the linchpin, Jamie says, this is the Sixers' worst nightmare.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, this is absolute hell to be a Sixers fan right now. So you just watched a 7-game series between Miami and Boston. Let's examine the facts, shall we? Because the Sixers helped both of those teams get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
I mean, all right, you can take the potential coach of the year. He should have won, in my opinion. Ime Udoka, up in Boston, Nia Long's husband. I saw her put out a nice dancing video last night. She's so cute.
She's so adorable.
So, their head coach. Okay, yeah, he left here. And, you know, right in your...
I don't know what happened there.
I don't know what that is.
On Elm Street, guys. Continue.
Oh. I'm not a horror film guy. Sorry for not recognizing. Udoka, you know, probably coach of the year. And Al Horford came here as a double agent to break apart the Sixers. Now he's playing a major role on their team. And, oh, yeah, there's this guy named Jason Tatum who Danny Ainge pulled the pants down of Brian Colangelo, put him over his knee, and spanked him in front of the entire NBA. And if I hear one more person say, well, the Sixers could have just taken Tatum anyway, stop.
They can't.
That's a false narrative. Danny Ainge wouldn't have traded with you if he didn't broadcast your stupidity of who you were drafting. He traded you because he knew you were taking faults, and that's that. So the Celtics, the Sixers basically made. I mean, those are three main pieces of their success. The Sixers just gifted them. What was the other major move of the process? Trading Jimmy Butler for Josh Richardson because your giant baby point guard, head coach, and Jimmy couldn't coexist. So you helped Miami Heat get their superstar that has now carried them to an NBA Finals and Eastern Conference Finals, and you basically made the Boston Celtics. And you're sitting here in the same exact freaking spot you were at the beginning of all of this. Watching that series was hell. I hate watching that series. I enjoyed it because I enjoy basketball. I hated everything about it. This is a low point for the Sixers and their organization, and I hope they do it right this offseason. They really need to get things right because they just had two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals that they helped put there in major ways. These weren't minor moves. These were the backbone foundational pieces of the teams, and the Sixers helped them get there.
Yep. I think you summed that up beautifully, Jamie.
Yeah, that was pretty torture. Good.
Your passion is exemplary.
I got to tell you, it's going to make me sick. If the Celtics, I do not believe the Celtics will beat the
Bucks. I don't either.
But they're
not deep enough.
Bob said it with around 12 games to go in the season, maybe 12 games to go in the regular season. He said, I think the Celtics might win it all.
I
rolled my eyes at you.
They may get blasted in this first game against Golden State, but I'll tell you what. If you said to me, pick anybody from anywhere, east or west, to go up against Golden State in a final that would have a shot, I think Boston, because I love schematically what they do defensively. And, you know, you have a great defensive guard in Marcus Smart. Then nobody's going to shut down Steph Curry or maybe even Klay Thompson. But he's going to have a hand in frustrating the hell out of them and making life really difficult. Yeah, we'll see about that. But you're so right, Jamie. I got so sick and tired of just hearing names this whole series that were just could have been linked to the Sixers. Udoka is such a good coach.
He's awesome.
He's really doing a great job.
And Jason Tatum.
Did you see that coming? I mean, you didn't get to see
it. I heard about it.
I
heard about it so often. Like, this guy is great.
Everybody said he was a head coaching candidate.
Yeah, you're right. Look at all the head coaching people that they let go. It's strange, but at the time you weren't moving on from anybody. So what could they have done?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough. I love, though, the fact that the, and I will say it, too, is that Shaq's sources were very well versed that the Doc Rivers thing was never real with the Lakers, and they wanted a developmental coach. And I'm shocked.
Because well, they're thinking about the future.
But they really, though, does that tell you, do you think LeBron could potentially move on?
Yes. He seems to be an afterthought now.
Yeah.
Yes. But isn't it shocking to me that a franchise that has LeBron James is really talking about stripping it down and being developmental and being youthful?
Well,
and
if you're going to do it, you don't want to wait, because how many more years does he have left? I mean, he was still MVP caliber-ish at times
this
year.
He had a great season this year.
He was second in the league in scoring. So if you're going to move him, might as well do it now.
Maybe he just goes down the hallway to another locker room.
Could be. Hey, the Birds winning the NFC East? Maybe. Could it? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Hey, check out the Bet Parks app, which gives you so many interesting opportunities to do live in-game wagering. You get to a game in the third inning. You're not liking the Phillies' chances. Well, load up on the line right then as it shifts during the course of the game. Live in-game wagering is absolutely amazing. Now, you want to bet on individual player performances, too. So if you're talking about in the NBA Finals, maybe you're betting on points or rebounds and assists. In baseball, you can always bet overs on hits, homers, and strikeouts. New customers aren't going to strike out with the Bet Parks app. They're going to get a risk-free bet up to $750. And all you have to do is use the promo code Kincaid. Download the app. It'll be refunded in site credit should you lose. But you look pretty smart, so I think you're going to win. It's the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Everything collides there. The odds, the slots, the bets, the games. It is so much fun, and you're going to enjoy it. Now, you got to be 21, and you need to be in Pennsylvania or New Jersey to participate. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.